This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have so much to get to. I don't know how we're going to pack it all in. We have to talk State of the Union. Senator Ron Johnson is here. Savannah Hernandez has an amazing report out. We'll do the best we can to get through all of it on I'm Right.
As I say tonight, members of Congress, the state of our union is strong.
State of the Union time. So here, it was a really good night. It was a very, very, very good night, and I'm gonna explain why it was a very good night. I'll get to the clips in just a moment. Just bear with me for a moment. Why does it matter? Is it important at all? Well, you would agree that elections obviously matter. We need to win elections. We don't want to lose elections. We have midterms coming up. Of course, that matters. Here's what matters now, in this day and age we live in the year 2026. What matters is what you put on camera. And there are little moments that can doom you or save you if you put those little moments on camera. Because your opposition in politics, if you say something wrong or do something bad, the opposition in politics will quickly, I mean, they have kids who do this in 5 seconds. They'll have it spliced up. It'll be on a television commercial. It'll be on everybody's YouTube page. It'll be you doing or saying something awful just for a moment can ruin you, can absolutely sink you in politics. Now, combine that with this. Both political parties, I was about to say all, but we really have two major political parties, they all have problems, meaning image problems. The Republicans have image problems as well, but Democrats have a big one, a really, 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 really big one, the lack of patriotism. It is one of those things where everyone kind of knows the Democrats, they don't really like the country. They don't even talk about liking the country. Do they hate the country? It's one of those things that's always looming over their party. And remember, elections are not won by you or by me. You know who you're voting for already in the midterms. You know who you're voting for in 2028. So do I. Elections are won by the normie people who could be swayed this way or that, and gas prices and that. You understand? People sway back and forth. If you're a politician, Democrat or Republican, that's who you're going for. Now, I don't want to ever try to pin down the swaying middle on any particular issue, because you can't really do that. But here's one thing about normie voters. They do love the country. If they hated the country, they would already be Democrats. So there is a love of country. There is a patriotism there. And let's remember this as well, because it's going to be the first clip we play. Donald Trump won the election for two main reasons. Yes, there are all different parts of the coalition, and you have your issues, and I have my issues, but it was inflation and immigration. Inflation and immigration. Every single poll leading up to the election showed the public was upset that Democrats opened up the border and flooded the country with foreigners. Normies, not just you and me, normies were mad about that. So Donald Trump gets up last night. He gives a State of the Union address. It was wonderful. Donald Trump was clearly mindful about making Democrats look bad on camera. They hate the country. They prefer foreigners over Americans. But you don't want to necessarily advertise that if you're a Democrat. So this line about illegals, masterful.
One of the great things about the State of the Union is how it gives Americans the chance to see clearly what their representatives really believe. So tonight I'm inviting every legislator to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens. Isn't that a shame? You should be ashamed of yourself not standing up. You should be ashamed of yourself. That is why I'm also asking you to end deadly sanctuary cities that protect the criminals and enact serious penalties for public officials who block the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases drug lords, murderers all over our country. They're blocking the removal of these people out of our country, and you should be ashamed of yourself. Yeah.
How's that look to normie voter? Maybe he doesn't love Trump, doesn't love Democrats, can be swayed. Hey, you prefer Americans over illegals, right? They all stay seated. That's a powerful thing that is going to show up in Republican ads leading up to a midterm election. And look, some of these people are so stupid, they can't even intelligently defend what they did. Listen to this.
What did you think about that moment when the president was asking Democrats to stand up for American citizens?
There's thinly veiled racist language, anti-immigrant language in what he was asking, and that was uncomfortable.
Doesn't look good. The subject of crime is a huge loser for Democrats because now Americans are realizing Democrats are open jail savages who want rapists and murderers turned loose. The murder of Irina Zarutska struck Americans at their core. Just such an innocent-looking, pretty young girl, and we had to watch some barbarian slaughter her. And it was so powerful, it still moves me to this day. Donald Trump brought her mother there. This is something that has captured the imagination of the American people. This senseless murder. Why was this guy let out of prison? Donald Trump brings her sobbing mother there, this poor woman. Look how it went.
No one will ever forget there were people on that train. No one will ever forget the expression of terror on Irina's face as she looked up at her attacker in the last seconds of her life. She died instantly. She had escaped a brutal war only to be slain by a hardened criminal. Set free to kill in America, came in through open borders. Mrs. Zaretska, tonight I promise you we will ensure justice for your magnificent daughter, Irina. How do you not stand? How do you not stand?
How do you not stand? How do you look to normie voter not standing? Erica Kirk standing there too. Widow just had her husband slaughtered. Mother stands, had her daughter slaughtered. Democrats don't stand. The trans issue. The trans issue, remember, is an 80-20 issue in the United States of America. Even Democrats, when polled, they're quiet about it, but they know it's weird, it's wrong, it's gross. The trans issue puts them on their heels. Donald Trump put them on camera.
But surely we can all agree no state can be allowed to rip children from their parents' arms and transition them to a new gender against the parents' will. Who would believe that we've been talking about this? We must ban it, and we must ban it immediately. Look, nobody stands up. These people are crazy, I'm telling you. They're crazy.
And they are crazy. And they couldn't even be normal holding a counter State of the Union. Look at how that went.
It's not trans kids driving up your rent. It is the billionaires doing that. We are standing up for our trans kids across the country.
I'm fresh out of an ICE prison in Minneapolis. I've been arrested 3 times by ICE over absurdity, over us being ourselves, over me singing songs like, "Hey, Mr. Tangerine Man, get rid of brown people for me. I'm Aryan white. There ain't no place I'm going to."
I defy Trump and his authoritarian project by standing in joyful, radical, peaceful resistance with the Portland Frog Brigade.
Hold us.
Ice.
And to press this country to
the border. I stuck in the border. Go Trump. Hey Murphy, right, you're scumbag.
Thanks, man. Thanks, buddy.
Not a great night for Democrats. You could have been normal. Could have just tried to be normal, but you had to remind the American people, you are crazy. Trump was right. I know that didn't make you uncomfortable, and I am right. We have an amazing show for you here. I mean, my gosh, we have United States Senator Savannah Hernandez. So much to get to. Before we get to that, let me get to you and your little tummy. My stomach. I would say 40. I'm 44 now. I would say when I was about 40, I started, if I ate the wrong thing at the wrong hour, get heartburn at night. And you can't sleep. It's friggin' miserable. So, what to do? Sister tells me about cowboy colostrum. I didn't even know what colostrum was. I never even heard of it. But she's all about all this health, natural stuff. So, I tried it. Skeptical. Started putting in my coffee in the morning. I have the chocolate. It's delicious, by the way. Have not had heartburn one time since. My gut doesn't hurt, functions the way it should. Cowboy colostrum is freaking miraculous. Highly recommend you give it a try. Go to cowboycolostrum.com and use the code JesseTV. Give it a try. Put it in your coffee. Put it in some milk. See how it works. We'll be back.
Perhaps most importantly, I'm asking you to approve the Save America Act to stop illegal aliens and others who are unpermitted persons from voting in our sacred American elections. That cheating is rampant in our elections. It's rampant. Why would anybody not want voter ID? One reason, because they want to cheat. There's only one reason. They make up all excuses. They say it's racist. They come up with things. You almost say, what imagination they have. They want to cheat. They have cheated. And their policy is so bad that the only way they can get elected is to cheat. And we're going to stop it. We have to stop it, Josh.
Pretty good. Joining me now, great senator from the state of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, I know we've had this discussion before. Are we any closer to actually getting the SAVE Act passed, or is this just a pipe dream? It's not going to happen.
Well, first of all, the president pretty well nailed it. I can't really add to his explanation of why Democrats are opposed to this. But in terms of passage, that's our problem, is you don't have Democrat partners. If you cross the board here, you take a look at all the enormous problems Democrats created during the Biden administration and before that. I mean, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which has caused premiums to skyrocket. Rather than admit that they made a mistake, rather than admit that they created these problems, what they do is they not only do not help you fix them, they actually sabotage your efforts to do so. Let's just look at illegal immigration, which is, this is all part and parcel of the same thing here, right? They flood millions of people in this country, over 650,000 people with criminal records, 15,000 murderers, 20,000 rapists that are still at large, okay? So they create this problem, and then they don't not only help you, they sabotage your efforts. So they train activists to put themselves into harm's way, to obstruct justice, knowing people are going to get hurt, a couple of people get murdered. Now they've got their martyrs, and they exploit those martyrs. So again, why did they flood this country with 10 million people? Well, they wanted these people to be able to vote. They wanted them to be counted in the census in sanctuary cities and states so they can plump up their numbers in Congress. So the last thing the Democrats want is secure elections. President Trump is absolutely right. They want to make it easy to cheat. Our problem in passing is we don't have Democrats who will join us and vote to secure elections, to have that minimum requirement of making sure that your legitimate vote isn't canceled by a fraudulent one by showing an ID, by proving you're a citizen. Now, in terms of Republicans going it alone, you know, unfortunately, a lot of my colleagues haven't recognized that these times are different. And yes, I know the filibuster prevented us from being a socialist nation decades ago. We've been able to stop awful pieces of Democrat socialist legislation being in the minority, but the times have changed. Democrats have told us what they're going to do. They will end the filibuster next time they get an opportunity. They purged the two senators that stopped them ending the filibuster last time. That won't happen in the future. So unfortunately, I've got a lot of Republican colleagues who are deluding themselves, thinking, well, you know, Democrats are really not serious about that. They value the filibuster too. They're not going to end it. Yes, they will. And when they do it, they'll turn D.C. and Puerto Rico into states. That's probably four new Democrat senators. They'll pack the Supreme Court. And so I agree with President Trump. We ought to do it now. End the filibuster. That's going to be the easiest way to pass the Save America Act. Short of that, and the talking filibuster is no panacea. It is very, it'd be very difficult. Probably an unlimited number of amendments, because Robert Byrd changed the precedent that turned amendments not into speeches but into something else. So the two-speech rule would be almost impossible to enforce. You'd have an infinite number of amendments. You'd never bring debate to a close to get the point where you can pass it with just 50 votes. So that's a challenge, unless we're willing to change that precedent. And again, there'd be resistance of the Republicans to do that as well. So at a minimum, and here will be my concluding statement, at a minimum, what we ought to do is put it on the floor and force Democrats to talk and talk and talk and try and defend why they are opposed to something that something like 80% of American people support, secure elections and voter ID. At a minimum, that's what we ought to do. No guarantee of passage. The talking filibuster does not guarantee passage, but at a minimum, we can put the heat on Democrats. Maybe public pressure would build. Got my doubts, but if public pressure would build, maybe to have enough Democrats to join us and pass it.
Senator, I have to ask, a two-hour speech, are you allowed to use the bathroom? I thought about that. All you guys stuck there. Someone has to use the bathroom. Do people get up and use the bathroom?
Well, again, it's a two-speech rule. It's not a two-hour speech. And no, people have dehydrated themselves, and they don't go to the bathroom. Again, it's almost dangerous physiologically, but you know, you saw Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, you saw Spartacus, Cory Booker do that. He's got the record, what, 20-some hours? They don't. But again, there aren't that many people going to do that. But as long as offering an amendment is not considered a speech, the two-speech rule is pretty irrelevant, too. They have the opportunity for infinite amendments. The whole reason we have cloture votes is because the Senate had unlimited debate and they could not bring debate to a close. And so about 100 years ago, they came up with the cloture vote to when a majority of, and back then it was a supermajority, I think it was 2/3, 67 votes. I don't think he had that number of states, but whatever, 2/3 of majority. When they, 2/3 of the Senate said, okay, let's end the debate, let's vote on this thing. You'd have cloture. But that has turned into an easy way out, where you don't even have to debate things anymore. So again, that's why I support the talking filibuster. But again, I'm not going to overpromise what we necessarily can't deliver. It's still a long shot passing this without Democrat support.
No, I like it that you just give it to us straight. Thank you, Senator. I know you're a very busy man. That's kind of what I wanted to know. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. All right. Savannah Hernandez has been in Ohio. No, not just eating delicious Ohio Valley pizza, which I would highly recommend. She's been investigating, you know, all those trucks driven by foreigners that keep killing people. You're not going to believe what she's about to tell you. Now, before we get to Savannah, I want to get to your cell phone service. Do you have Verizon? Do you have AT&T? Do you have T-Mobile? Speaking of foreigners, how was the accent last time you got a hold of customer service? Hello, this is T-Mobile. You tired of that? When you get a hold of Pure Talk, you get to talk to an American because Pure Talk is an American company run by a Vietnam veteran. They hire Americans based right here in America. Every time I have to talk to them on the phone, they're just wonderful. And they understand me, and I understand them. It's almost uncanny. Switch. You'll save money. Keep your phone. Keep your number. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
The Somali pirates who ransacked Minnesota remind us that there are large parts of the world where bribery, corruption, and lawlessness are the norm, not the exception. Importing these cultures through unrestricted immigration and open borders brings those problems right here to the USA. And it is the American people who pay the price in higher medical bills, car insurance rates, rent, taxes, and perhaps most importantly, crime. We will take care of this problem. We're going to take care of this problem. We are not playing games.
Panning to Ilhan Omar when talking about Somali pirates was just fantastic. I'm sure Savannah Hernandez enjoyed it. Joining me now, contributor to Turning Point USA, Savannah Hernandez, who's, I've got to warn you right now before we even start talking to her, you're probably going to be hesitant to get on the highway when we get done discussing her new reporting. But Savannah, okay, Somali pirates, you've been out and about places like Ohio. Why don't you just tell us what you found?
Sure, Jesse. So first off, I wasn't expecting to run into the problem of the worst Somali drivers I've ever seen in my life on the streets of Columbus, Ohio, but I guess that's just America in 2026. But essentially, and the reason why I'm here today is because I have a brand new documentary dropping, because I asked the question, how are illegal immigrants able to drive 80,000-pound semi-trucks on our streets? And I was asking this question because in Austin, we had a horrific crash in which an Eritrean truck driver who was driving for Amazon, crashed into stopped traffic. He ended up killing five, including a four-year-old and a child. And we've seen this continue to happen again and again and again all across the United States of America. This just happened in Indiana a couple weeks ago. You had four Amish men that were killed by an illegal immigrant who was driving a semi-truck and should not have been. How did this happen? I've done this investigation, Jesse, and it's insane because back in 2016, of course, under the Obama administration, you had those English language proficiency rules that were relaxed that basically opened up our highways much more easily to a lot of these migrants who shouldn't be on the road to begin with. But then it was during COVID-19 and this push of a trucker shortage and fear surrounding a trucker shortage that opened the floodgates, and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA for short, started relaxing all of these regulations that allowed migrants to get on our streets. And I wanted to give that quick history because what I found were straight up CDL schools in which you have an entire TikTok page of hundreds of videos of migrants speaking in different languages, advertising CDL programs to migrants in different countries. Now, this is happening quite largely in the Somali community, with the Punjabi community, with the Russians, the Uzbekis. And again, going back to that initial question, how are migrants driving 80,000-pound semis on our highways? I thought that I was going to get a simple answer. And what I unveiled was a web of fraud so vast that my story here barely even covers the surface. Now, when I went to Columbus, I tracked down a lot of the trucking companies that many of these migrants are being hired by. And the trucking companies are fraudulent, Jesse. So basically, the way that the DOT works is anybody can open a trucking company, and the FMCSA sometimes is not conducting the new entrant audit for these trucking companies for up to 2 years. That means you have trucking companies that are operating fighting. And hey, maybe they're legitimate, maybe they're not. And the FMCSA is really not checking in or auditing that. And that's how things have been run for the last 10 years. Now, the video report you're playing on screen right now has to do with a company called SOS Trucking. And my researcher and I found this video because the drivers for this company were speaking Somali. They were on the highways talking about how they were driving from Dallas to Ohio. And they were talking about all the racism that Somali truck drivers face because there's English barriers there. Now, this company itself got over $618,000 in PPP loans during COVID-19. You know, if viewers remember what was going on with that, you had PPP loans that were being handed out to small businesses to help them during COVID-19. And there was a lot of fraud via these trucking companies that were tied to that. So this company had a loan that was issued for trucking. Their other loan was issued for food service contracting. That made no sense. And then I found another trucking company in Ohio just to, again, highlight how insane all of this is for your audience. This company, Jesse, was opened in March. Just 3 months later, they had three trucks that they said that they had. There was no activity tied to those trucks. Despite that, they got $314,000 in our taxpayer-funded money via a PPP loan. And guess what happened, Jesse? The FMCSA came to conduct that new entrant audit to say, hey, can you prove to us that you're legitimate? They refused to do it. We don't know the status of that loan. So that is the very short and summarized version of, again, what's happening in Ohio. And by the way, Jesse, Ohio is one part of the nation that this is happening in. We have seen these non-domiciled CDLs handed out to illegal immigrants, particularly from California, New York, Texas, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and you now have the current DOT that is really trying to get this under control and trying to get this issue solved. But we have 200,000 non-domiciled CDLs that have been handed out, and I can't remember if I explained it or not, but basically, the CDLs that regular Americans get are not the same that migrants get, and migrants get that non-domiciled CDL, basically meaning they're not residents of the United States of America.
Okay, is there a, I have so many follow-up questions I want to ask here. The non-domiciled versus domiciled, is there a difference in the testing? Essentially, what I want to know, Sav, because I don't understand this, surely you have to take a test, right? You got to back up, you have to take a test.
Sure, Jesse. And first off, shameless plug here, please go watch my documentary because it's going to explain it and show it way more in depth than I'm going to say right now. But thank you for asking this question because basically the FMCSA told CDL schools that they could self-certify. So basically at one point in the nation, you had about 2,100 CDL schools that were legitimate. After the FMCSA passed this, I want to say it was in 2022. Guess what happened? You then had 32,000 CDL schools that were created because, you know, they didn't have to say, hey, let's follow up with the government. Let's get inspections. Let's have somebody come from the government to confirm that we are a legitimate school. That was also coupled with the fact that the FMCSA then decided to allow these CDL schools to utilize third-party testing, meaning that you could go to the school and then they'd give you a certificate that you would take to the DMV and then you would get your CDL. So the web of fraud that's happening here that I figured out, Jesse, was that basically, you have migrant trucking companies that would sponsor migrants from other countries to bring them over here legally, or they would just cross over into the country illegally. They would bring them over and then they would put them through a migrant CDL school. They would fast track them for a CDL. They would give them that certificate. They would go get that non-domiciled CDL. Then they would go work for a migrant trucking company. Now, the fraud doesn't stop there because guess what, Jesse? These trucking companies sometimes were exploiting the migrants they brought over and said, oh, you're going to work extra hours, even if it's illegal. That's why a lot of times these migrant truckers are falling asleep behind the wheel. Or again, they did not undergo the proper training, so they have no idea how to operate this semi-truck, and they're getting into horrific crashes in which we have five-year-olds that are getting, you know, brutally hurt in these violent crashes that are happening across the nation. So that's how they are getting trained or not being trained, I would say. And the DOT really trying to crack down on these CDL mills. That's what they're called. But keep in mind, these are happening across the nation. And the one that you have on screen right now is operating as we speak. I posted about them last week. They took down their entire TikTok page. So they know what they're doing, but they do have a verifiable on the ground in Ohio trucking school that they are running people out of.
Okay. Last question, because I want people to go see the documentary and you can plug away at that thing and let people know where to do it. But Did you get some sense as to what they're trucking? Basically, I want to know who's hiring these people. What are they hauling back and forth?
Sure, Jesse. Another great question. So essentially, this is, again, going back to the fraud, right? That's our favorite word for this interview. What's happening is oftentimes the freight that is being moved by a migrant trucking company. And that migrant trucking company is sometimes taking that freight and then selling it on the black market and taking goods here in the United States and sending it back overseas. So that's something that's happening as well. And I'm going to be honest with you, Jesse, the web stretched so far that I only touched the CDL mills. But like I said, just in this small portion of it, you have the migrant truck owners who are exploiting the migrant truck drivers, and they, oh, by the way, are working for half of what an American trucker would, which is why the trucking industry has completely collapsed.
Where do people see this documentary, Seth?
Go on X at Frontlines TPUSA. It will be posted there later today. And then follow my X account, Sav Says, because the full 30-minute doc that's going to explain this and show you guys everything way better than I just did will be up there.
All right. Imagine a truck driver more dangerous than an Asian woman. Sav, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We have Clay Travis joining us in just a moment. Before we get to Clay, I want to talk to you about your energy, your focus, your brain getting a little foggy, maybe you're running out of gas a little earlier than you used to, and you're just thinking, well, it's just part of old age. It's not. Things are dropping that shouldn't be dropping. So you got to be proactive about it. You have to address it. That's where Chalk comes in. A male vitality stack or a female vitality stack from Chalk give you your youth back. We're talking clinically tested 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. I'm not trying to tell you to take something I do not take every single morning with my breakfast. I take a male vitality stack. I've been doing so for 4 years. I will never stop. I feel fantastic. I get emails from people, 80-year-olds. Jesse, I feel great, better, best in years. Try it. CHOQ.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Here with us tonight is a group of winners who just made the entire nation proud. The men's gold medal Olympic hockey team. Come on in. That's the first time I've ever seen them get up. And actually, not all of them did get up. But they beat a fantastic Canadian team in overtime, as everybody saw, as did the American women who will soon be coming to the White House.
As if life wasn't already difficult for Canadians. Joining me now, host of the wonderful Clay and Buck Show, author of his new book is called Balls, my buddy Clay Travis. Clay, can you explain why the United States of America men's hockey team winning a gold medal would be controversial to anybody, Republican, Democrat, man, women? Can you explain what the problem is?
Yeah, it is that sports media and Democrats, which often overlap almost completely, hate America. They were probably rooting for Canada. And the only thing they hate more than the country is they hate Trump. And I do think this is really important. I know you sent a tweet about there are some people out there who say, I don't know why anybody cares about sports at all. And I get it. I mean, it is the toy chest of life, but politics is downstream from culture. And there has been a concerted effort to try to change basically all of our lives, what is considered normal and what is considered acceptable. And so I don't know if you've talked about this on your show, but I actually went back to look because I was curious. It's been 46 years since we won a gold medal. Back in 1980, when we won a gold medal, do you know what happened, Jesse? Walter Mondale, who was the vice president of the United States, went into the U.S. locker room to celebrate and called Jimmy Carter then the president of the United States. And every single American in 1980 thought that was completely normal. There wasn't anything considered political or untoward about it. We don't know. You got these guys right here on the screen for those people who are watching the video. Look, you got all these guys. We don't know a single one of their political opinions. All we know is they're proud to represent America. They love the country, and they busted their asses to win a gold medal. And most people who are sane sports fans, that's all we want. I don't care who Alyssa Lou voted for. I don't care what the politics are of Lindsey Vonn. I just want them to love America and bust their ass to try to win gold medals. And if they do that, then I'm going to like them because I like sports. That's not acceptable anymore to Democrats.
Clay, can you explain the commies in sports journalism? Because this actually blows me away. I grew up watching Dan Patrick, right? I mean, maybe I just know the other side of it. And I don't even, I think Dan Patrick's a Democrat, but I never knew. Whatever, he's just a guy, he loves sports. And now so many of these guys who cover sports are just, it's like they hate the sport they cover. They certainly hate the athletes. Am I imagining this?
No. It's 100% correct. And I think what happened was social media removed any sort of uncertainty that might have existed. And then COVID put it into the stratosphere. Jesse, you had a bunch of guys, and they are still angry at me over this. It's been 6 years. You had a bunch of dudes saying, we got to shut down all sports. We cannot play football because of COVID. And I came out and I said, look, you tell the average NFL player or college football player, you can get COVID, or you can take 20 hits going over the middle of this game trying to catch a pass. Football is way more dangerous than COVID. And I think what ultimately is reflected here is a lot of sports media still comes out of the writer world. And the writer world is overwhelmingly, much like media, left-wing. What's unique is, unlike in political media, where you have Fox News, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, certainly a lot of radio shows, where there's a lot of people who will take the other side and say, hey, let me make you think about it this way. Let me make this argument for you. In sports, it's basically OutKick against everybody. If I hadn't founded OutKick, Jesse, there would not be one single sports media company in the world, certainly not in the United States, that would have said, hey, dudes pretending to be chicks shouldn't be able to win women's championships. It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And the argument I've made from a media perspective is, it's like I discovered beer and people are buying beer like crazy because OutKick is very popular. And everybody else said, yeah, whatever. We're going to compete for the gin audience. We're going to have 50 different flavors of gin. And we'll just give Clay beer. And I mean, honestly, that's kind of where we are. So, you know, it's a market insanity that isn't reflected by the average sports fan. And it's even worse, Jesse. There's a lot of contempt from the media that covers sports for actual sports fans in a way that I think sports fans are just now starting to even some of them learn.
Clay, are you a cigar guy? I don't generally do cigars, but last night I had a cigar. I've had like 3 cigars over the last 3 months, and I think I'm becoming a cigar guy. Granted, I can't breathe today, and I really smelled bad. My wife, Ob, told me when I got home that I really, really smelled like cigars, but I feel like I look good with a cigar. I might be a cigar guy.
So Laura, my wife, used to work at a cigar company. So we used to have a lot of cigars around the house. I do like cigars. I don't have them that frequently. I'm going to be honest, though. I'm a little bit insecure about the cigar. And let me explain why. If you're not a professional cigar guy, the way that your cigar burns and the way that you light it, you look like a moron, right? Because the other guy you're with is just like, you know, he's a professional cigar smoker. He's got the perfect light going on. And you are puffing like a crazy man to try to make sure that your cigar stays lit. I don't know if this happened to you in any of your cigar smoking, but it's not lit correctly, right? It's like uneven, and you're only smoking out of one side of the cigar, and then it goes out, and you're constantly. So I like the cigar process, but it reminds me a little bit of like eating watermelon. I really like watermelon, but the seeds in a watermelon like kind of take away a lot of the fun. And then they made like seedless watermelons. You're like, this is kind of a flawless product. I need cigars for morons. To allow me to actually smoke the full cigar. I will say this is quite a manly step up from your Super Bowl party where you carried around a big jug of water and drank like a chick in a hot yoga class.
I had to work the next day. It's not my fault they make the Super Bowl at 8 o'clock at night on a Sunday night. I can't do this anymore. I had to have water and I left at halftime so I could go to bed and get a full 8 hours of sleep. There's nothing wrong with having water at a Super Bowl party. And by the way, I think with a mustache like that, you should bone up on how you light cigars because, I mean, you have to have a cigar when you're rocking that thing on your face.
You know, what's unfortunate about the mustache is I actually have a beard right now.
Everything.
The mustache is really pretty sexy. And everybody is seeing it right now, and they're thinking to themselves, this is the most trusted mustache in news. And thank you for all that support. But I don't know if you can see it, the video, radio listeners or audio listeners, whatever. My beard is coming in gray. And this is a major decision point for me. It is, what do I do? Because really, there's hair here, but it comes in white now, and you can't really see it, so it just looks like I'm like a dirty white trash, you know, like a redneck, which there is some overlap with, let's be honest. But I actually, my mustache and my goatee still comes in dark. So this is a real decision for me. I don't want to go full Ryan Day, your boy at Ohio State, and start, you know, painting on just for men so it's totally artificial and everybody can tell. But it's not noticeable otherwise. So I don't know what to do here. It's a real dilemma for me, I'm gonna be honest. And look, I'm not good enough looking to be able to just throw these decisions away and be like, oh, you know, I'm sure that Matthew McConaughey never had to sit around and worry about, you know, going gray because he's still incredibly good looking. But when you're an ugly guy and you start to have, you know, gray hair come in or go bald like you, it's not a good position to be in.
It's not. I actually hit the sweet spot 3 or 4 years ago where I had just enough gray to where I had people accusing me of dying it that way. It came in the right place. It was just enough. And now that's passed. And I knew I was in that sweet spot. And now it's passed. And now I look like Santa Claus. Clay, get out of here, brother. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Keep up the good.
All right. We have a great light in the mood. Next. All right, it's time to lighten the mood, and we had to play you at least one of these. It was such a great night for honoring heroes last night, and one in particular, a Royce Williams, 100 years old, a naval aviator, and, I mean, the moment speaks for itself.
Tonight we've celebrated many truly extraordinary American patriots, but there is one last living legend to honor before we go. He is one more heroic American aviator, Navy fighter pilot. Royce Williams served in World War II, Korea, Vietnam, flying more than 220 missions. In disguise over Korea in 1952, Royce was in the dogfight of a lifetime, legendary dogfight, flying through blizzard conditions. His squadron was ambushed by 7 Soviet fighter planes. It was his first aerial combat of the war, and despite being massively outnumbered and outgunned, Royce led the takedown of 4 enemy jets and almost destroyed the others, vanquishing his adversaries while taking 263 bullets to his own plane and being seriously hurt. His story was secret for over 50 years. He didn't even want to tell his wife, but the legend grew and grew. But tonight, at 100 years old, this brave Navy captain is finally getting the recognition he deserves. He was a legend long before this evening. Royce, please stand up, and I will ask the First Lady of the United States to present Captain Royce Williams with his Congressional Medal of Honor.
Thank you. took on 7 planes by himself, shot down 4. He had to leave because he ran out of ammo. I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.